normally I have you turn to a text and we stand and read it. We will stand, but we just got two verses this morning, and they're not from the same text, James 2:23. So why don't you stand with me, please? And these two verses will be this one, and then there will be Genesis 18:19. Let's do this. Let's all read these verses together, okay? So let's go. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And then we've got Genesis 18:19. Here we go. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for our time in your house this morning. And as we talk to dads and we talk about dads, I pray that this message would make sense, that we would apply its truth to our families and to our lives, and when we would serve you when we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This will probably be, if you see yourself as politically correct, I just want you to know that I'm sorry right up front. This will be possibly the most politically incorrect message that you may have ever heard here in this church, and I'm going to share with you some thoughts on fathers and on men, some statistics on fathers in or out of the home. From the U.S. Census Bureau, there's a crisis in America. 19.7 million children, more than one in four, are without a father in the home. Consequently, there is a father factor in nearly all of the societal ills facing America today. Research shows that a child is raised in a father-absent home, a home he or she is affected in the following ways. That child has a four times greater risk of poverty, is seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to have behavioral problems, more likely to face abuse and neglect, two times greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to go to prison, two times more likely to suffer obesity, more likely to commit crime, and two times more likely to drop out of high school if the dad is not in the home. Terms in society are spoken of in society today that diminish the need of a dad in the home. Perhaps you've heard of toxic masculinity. Toxic is another word for poisonous. In other words, really what they're saying is poisonous males in the home. Life has become so twisted that men are seen as aggressors, users, abusers, and a drain on the welfare of a woman. If you listen to all the drivel of society is handing out on the value of a man, you will feel like you are no longer needed in society. And that is just what Satan wants. And I just like to add, don't allow yourself to be defined by those that don't like you. And there's a group of people out there that just flat hate men. And it's a mystery to me what's not to love, you know? But the reality of it is, whether they didn't have a dad in the home or whether they were raised by mummer or whatever the deal is, every now and then you'll meet a female that you can tell they just don't like men. And of course, it's in me that I just want to win them over. And obviously, that might be a losing battle. And I could name some names of people that it's very obvious that no matter what a guy tries, they will never make her happy. And you see them on TV from time to time. Quite frankly, they are elected to political office, and they're just never going to enjoy life, no matter what you do for them. And what they need to do is they need to get saved, meet Jesus Christ, get a new heart, and boy, what a transformation that would make. But obviously, they don't like us. So when dad is gone, there is no protector in the home. And it is man's job, three things, and I'll give you those three. Number one, it's man's job to stand up. There are many examples of great men in God's Word, but for our lesson this morning, I'd like us to look at a man named Moses in Exodus chapter 8. If you have your Bible this morning, Exodus is the second book in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus. Moses was a man that was raised by the world in Pharaoh's court. For 40 years he was there and tried to take things into his own hands, and it didn't go well for him, so he went off into the desert and lived for another 40 years in seclusion watching sheep. So at 80 years old, God speaks to him and tells him, I want you to go and rescue my people Israel, like you didn't. I'm adding to this. God didn't say it to him then, but he said, you've tried to do that before. Now I'm going to go with you, and you're going to do it right this time, is basically how it went. And we do well to make sure what we're doing, that the Lord is leading us, and we're not trying to lead the Lord. And so finally Moses went, and God told him some things to do. And he got the people of Israel, after all the plagues that happened, and they go out into the wilderness, and the tests really started once they had left Egypt. A lot of times we think life is so hard, and if we come to Christ, things will get better, and that is absolutely true. But let me tell you something. Once you launch out into the deep with Jesus Christ, that's when the tests really start. He's going to grow you. He's going to try you. He's going to teach you some lessons. And at times those things are no fun. And you may ask the question, Lord, I thought it would get better, and it seems like it's getting worse. And I just want you to know that would be normal. That's how it is. Because life is hard. Say that with me. Life is hard. And it is. And we will not lie to you and tell you that, boy, it'll be easy if you do this. There's really no chance life will be easy this side of eternity. But our days are ahead of us that will be really good. Now, having said that, in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 20, there are some things that we do when we stand up, men. Number one is we need to stand for the Lord. In verse number 20 of chapter 8, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Sometimes as men, we are called to stand and speak. A lot of times, honestly, for most men, judging others by myself, which is not fair, but for most of us, we'd rather just keep quiet. Men aren't necessarily the ones with all the words in certain homes. Usually that's the female side of the things, you know? No offense, ladies. Generally, you talk more than we do. All important things you're saying, I don't want to diminish that. But generally, guys will sit back and we'll keep quiet. And sometimes it is to our blame. Sometimes men should be speaking up when we are keeping quiet. And as the world is falling apart around us, and we as Christian men know better, shame on us if we're not speaking out and saying at times what is happening is wrong and somebody needs to say so. In this state, just this past week, we legalized physician-assisted suicide. And that is not a time for men to keep quiet. We need to say that is absolutely wrong. Back when they legalized abortion, we said euthanasia will be coming next, and by golly, it's here. And there, I can't imagine how a doctor can walk into a room who has pledged to do no harm and take a life. And it happens in abortion. We've also legalized in this state now that you no longer need to be a doctor to do an abortion. You can be an RN or a PA. Well, I thought abortion was supposed to be safe and rare and legal. Well, we don't want it to be rare. We don't want it to be safe. All we're trying to do is legalize every horrible thing that you can do to a baby. The safest place in the world should be a mother's womb. Now it's becoming the most dangerous place for a baby. I like the bumper sticker that says, if it's not a baby, you're not pregnant. Well, that's the truth. There are times, men, when we are called to speak up. And God told Moses, I want you to stand before Pharaoh and you tell him this. I think every now and then, men, I believe God is speaking to us as men to stand up and speak God's word, whether they want to listen or not, because I believe it's our responsibility to stand for right, stand for truth. That is a man's job. Stand up. Speak up. Not only are we supposed to stand up and speak up, God told Moses to do something else in Exodus chapter 14. Just turn your Bible over a few more pages. In verse number 13. They were in a bind once again. We won't go into the details, but in verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now, that's a harder thing for a man to do. We see something, we want to fix it. You know, something's wrong with your wife, guys, we want to fix that. Sometimes they don't want to be fixed. That's okay. We'll fix them anyway. You know, you're crying, honey. Oh, what's wrong? They tell you, and you think, really? That's it? And you're crying over this? So we go out in the garage, you know? But there are times where God's the one that needs to do the work and not us. So before we're supposed to speak up, now I'm telling you to shut up. Let God work and see the salvation of the Lord. And there are times, if you'll just sit back and think about your life, if you've known the Lord for long at all, or maybe you don't know the Lord this morning, whether you know him or not, you've seen God's hands work in lives. Miracles happen. God performs them, not as often as we'd like to see, but he does. But more than just miracles, there are circumstances that take place in, for instance, family. I am a dad. I have four children that have been born unto my watch. My oldest son, Phil, is not here this morning, but there's Phil, and Tori is here. Cody is, I think, in junior church, and where's Kate? Nursery. Working in the nursery? So she says. Yeah, so trying to avoid dad's preaching. Everybody has their problems. So all of those things, and you see your kids grow up, and I've seen Phil grow up to become a man. And I know all of the things that I tried to do for him and on him and with him as he's growing up. And I'm telling you, if any child raised by a man and a woman follows the Lord when it's all said and done, that's an answer to prayer. That is God working. We can't take the credit for that. I've seen bad kids come out of good homes, and I've seen good kids come out of bad homes. And I'm telling you, I think the system for that, there's just a million books that have been written on it, and I don't know if any one of them are correct. Because the reality of it is, when it's all said and done, it's God that does the work. And I've seen God work in the lives of my kids, and I'm very thankful for that. But I can't take the credit for it. I've seen God work in this church. If you were here last Sunday, I stood over here. You guys are all laughing because you know.
Greatest of these is love.
You know, this,
we have a plant
who did that?
Here. And
James?
I was gonna get a plant. This one here seems to thrive no matter where it is. It just does well because it's fake. But anyway, it looks nice, okay? And I couldn't help but think, you know, this, sad to say, this is real? How's it do that? Is it really? Well, that just kills my illustration, doesn't it? Where's the sun? How's that work? Do we water it? Who waters it? Judy does. It's got dirt in there. I'd have bet my house that was a fake plant.
Okay, Jim, that's good.
I'm not a betting man, okay? Did you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. Thank you, Roger. Yeah, yeah. Can I go home with any one of you here? Is that? Yeah. I just think, and Emily, we laughed about that this week. You've got to recognize the hand of God in this church. When, folks, this is an average, and there's no way we can take the credit for it. I am an idiot. I can't even tell real from fake. I have no idea what I'm doing, and I've told you that, and you think I'm just joking. I'm not joking. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm telling you, God is working among us. And it's not us, it's him that's doing this. And it is incredible to me what God has done in Exeter. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord and what he's done here. And folks, you and I get to be a part of that in our families, in our church, in answered prayer. You know, they tell you that, boy, you better pray the prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith that God answers. Well, how many people have prayed a prayer that you didn't know if it was going to get answered or not, and it did? Well, boy, my word, a pile of hands. That wasn't the prayer of faith. I'm just telling you that God honors faithfulness, even if you really don't know what he's going to do. And I've seen God answer prayers that when he does, wow, that's great. Well, what's wrong with you, Griffin? You knew God answers prayer. He does. But it's amazing sometimes what he does that we don't expect. Amen? That's God's hand working. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. So God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to stand. You're going to stand and speak. Sometimes you're going to stand and shut up and just watch. And thirdly, he says, Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6. We'll start with verse number 5. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go, and behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. I'm going to speak, I'm going to watch, and lastly, I'm going to stand and obey. Say that with me. Stand and obey. We sing a song in Sunday school, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And sometimes that's what we're called to do, is to stand and just do what God says. And I'll tell you what, sometimes I know we want to do God's will. I think there should be a desire in our hearts for every one of us to say, Lord, whatever it is, we want to do it. But ask Jonah if he enjoyed God's will at times. No, I'm going the other way. We'll talk about that tonight. But I just want you to know sometimes God's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do. And somewhere we get an idea, and oh, if you just follow the Lord, it'll be such a wonderful journey. It'll be so great. No, it won't. No, not always. But I'll tell you what, it'll be rewarding, and God will bless you for being obedient. But I'll tell you what's required. Sometimes I'm going to stand and speak. Sometimes I'm going to stand and shut up and watch. And sometimes he's going to say, Stan, you need to stand up and do this whether you want to or not. Whether I want to or not. Say that with me. Whether I want to or not. And I'm telling you something, men, somewhere along the line, mama told you, you don't have to do what you don't want to do. That was wrong. We're called to do things we don't want to do. It doesn't matter how I feel. It's more that the job needs to be done and do it. You have to get out of bed every morning, go to work. How many feel like that? Rarely. Every Sunday I stand in front of this pulpit. I'm glad to do it. A lot of Sundays, quite frankly, I don't feel like it. I look at my wife, say, on occasion, not often, I look at her, I wish we could stay home today. You know, he's, oh, Stan, you can't say that. I just did. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes we do things we don't want to do, but it's required to do because it's what needs to be done. I like to talk to a soldier over in the desert right now. Having fun? Enjoying this job? Of course not. But thank God they're over there so our enemies aren't over here. It's a job that needs to be done. And there is just a list longer than your arm of things that need to take place that men are called to do. And somewhere along the line, someone got up the idea that I don't feel like I want to do that. I talked to a lady a while ago. She came to church and she said, you know, my husband can't get a job. And he had a job, but he didn't like it. So I told him he could quit. I'm telling you, lady, I don't know who your husband is, but I wouldn't like him. No offense. Man up. Man up. Life's hard. You'll die at the end. It's how it goes. If you know Christ, you go to heaven. If you don't know Christ, it's bad. It gets worse. I recommend knowing Christ. Amen. Stand up, man. Not only do we need to stand up, we need to man up. 1 Corinthians 16:13, in the end of 1 Corinthians, it's the last chapter in 1 Corinthians, and Paul is telling them some departing words in 1 Corinthians, and one of them is this: watch ye, 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Man up. Quit you like men. Isn't that interesting? But we don't hear that anymore. Now, nowadays it's, be good boys. Mind your manners. Don't get your clothes dirty. If somebody isn't nice to you, you be nice to them. You know, let's just get along. And if they don't like you, it's because they don't understand you. And you just need to talk to them and be friends. That wasn't the way I was raised. Dad says, don't you start a fight. But if somebody else starts that, you finish it. Now, I'm just looking for someone to start one. Ah, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Nowadays, it's just, when we were in school, things are different now. I've told this story before. We were raised around here, grew up around here, fought around here. My brother decides he's going to find greener pastures in North Carolina. So he moves his family to North Carolina, and he gets down there, and his oldest boy, Floyd, he decides he's going to get in a fight in school, and they go at it. They call the cops down there. Next thing you know, the police show up. Huh? What's that about? Used to be you went at it until you were too tired to go at it any longer, and then the teachers would grab you, and you'd stay for detention, and it was over. Sometimes your parents heard about it, sometimes you didn't. Nowadays, it's crazy. What happened? What have we become? Why is it that police officers are a standard deal in every school in the state of Maine now? Why do we need that? Because we've lost our bearings, we have no moral compass, we don't know right from wrong anymore, and for God's sake, don't let the Bible in there, whatever you do. That's what's happened, and now we have no idea how to control our kids. I'll tell you how to control your kids. Get yourself a stick. Bend them over the desk. Go at it. I told you it'd be politically incorrect. Man up. There was an ad I've been listening to this week. I can't remember if it's a local bank or who it is, and they're talking about, you remember your father and all the things he did for you, and these were their exact words, how he held you when you cried. Huh? Are you serious? Now, Mom, maybe, but Dad? No way. Dad ain't hugging me. Dad didn't hug. Does now, but my word, you gotta earn a hug. Crying doesn't cut it. I look at my son, you're turning into a girl. Stop it. I do. You know? It's like that ad on the Snicker ad is so perfect. You know how they're saying you're turning into something, they give him a Snicker and he turns into the person he is? That's Cody. That's who he is. He's either too tired or needs something to eat. But I'll tell you what, I ain't hugging the kid when he's crying. Nobody hugged me when I was crying except for my mother. That might be something you'd say about Mom, but not Dad. Dad would say, what's your problem? And then if he found out what was making me cry, he'd just kind of egg it on a little bit further. Alfred was, going back here, I always have to tell a story about Alfred. Alfred was out there, I'm raking, and Alfred's riding the go-kart. How's that work? How can he ride the go-kart and I'm having to rake? So, huh? You were good? Yeah, yeah. So, Dad did love to have boys come over. I mean, we'd be working and company would show up, and Al, I guess, was the company, and he'd put them on the mini bike and the go-kart, and we're still working, and they were all out playing, and life's not fair. And so I'm raking leaves like crazy, and I'm ripped. Alfred's riding the go-kart, and I'm having to rake, and this isn't fair, Dad. What are you doing this for? And Dad could tell that I wasn't happy. It wasn't rocket science. And he says, this isn't right. And Dad says, well, I know you're mad, but you work harder when you're mad. I didn't feel the hug, Dad. What was that about? The one that hugs you when you're crying. Yeah, right. Don't apologize for being born a male. Man up. God made us for certain things that women are not equipped to do. We may have more muscle than brains, but at times that's what called for. We fight wars. We dig ditches. We eat food that landed on the floor. We protect the women and children. Clothes don't have to match. Socks don't have to match. We can kill spiders. We can unclog toilets. The list goes on. And I don't want to offend any woman in the military. I know we have females in the military here. But I want to apologize that we are putting you in harm's way. That is just plain wrong. Men are made to fight wars. Men are made to carry guns and swords and to bleed and die for their country. It used to be a man was a coward if he stood behind a woman. Nowadays, we're putting women in our front lines. Where's the men? That is wrong. But what has happened now, it's not politically correct. We don't want to offend the women. I'll tell you what, women are better than soldiers. Women need to be protected. They don't need to be out fighting our wars. We want to fight for them, protect them, so they can be back on the home front. And our military will never be what it should be when we're putting women on the front lines. That is wrong. And men need to stand up and say so. Maybe it won't get you elected to Congress. Maybe you'll lose your seat. But you can stand before God and know you stood for what was right. That's right. Nobody talks like this anymore. There's a difference between men and women. Here is the story of two different things, and I got to bring this to a close, and I will. But here's a great illustration of the difference between men and women. Woman number one, oh, you got a haircut. That's so cute. Woman number two, do you think so? I wasn't sure at first. She gave me the mirror. I mean, you don't know. You think it's too fluffy? What do you think? Woman one, oh, no, it's perfect. I love to get my hair cut like that, but I think my face is too wide. I'm pretty much stuck with this stuff, I think. Woman two, are you serious? I think your face is adorable. And you could easily get one of those layer cuts that you could look so cute, I think. I was actually going to do that, except that I was afraid it would accent my long neck. Woman one, oh, that's funny. I would love to have your neck. Anything to take away attention away from my 2x4 I have for shoulders. Woman two, are you kidding? I know girls who would love to have your shoulders. Everything drapes so well on you, I mean. Look at my arms. See how short they are? If I had your shoulders, I could get clothes that fit so much easier. Male version. Man one, haircut. Man two, yep. There is a difference between men and women. And that is the truth. Whatever. Stand up, man up, and show up. Genesis 18, 19, we already read this, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. In other words, that verse is saying that I know Abraham, that he's going to do that. I can trust him with his family. He's going to pass those things on, and because of that, I'm going to bless him like I promised him that I would. Takes time. You've got to be there. You need to show up. A Christian lady in a certain community had taken it as her ministry to periodically visit the men incarcerated in the city's prison. One day an inmate asked her, "Can you get a Mother's Day card for me so I can send it to my mom?" Word passed throughout the prison system, and in no time, all the prisoners were making the same request. In order to oblige them, she made a deal with the card company and got a big shipment of Mother's Day cards. Every single card was procured by the prisoners and sent to their moms. Not a single one was left. So being a far-sighted person and knowing that Father's Day was just around the corner, the woman reasoned that it would be wise to order the same quantity of Father's Day cards. 3 years later, not one card had even been requested by any of the prisoners. You know why? Because they were mad at their fathers and blamed them for their position, right or wrong. Now, we can all speculate on, was Dad there? Was he not there? Did he do a good job? Did he do a bad job? I want to say, as a dad, I want to apologize for every father out there that's done a lousy job with the kids, because, number one, we'd not had kids before, and we didn't know what we were doing. And your first child, boy or girl, ought to be a throwaway. Because I'm telling you, the things we tried on Phil was not fair to Phil. That boy, and obviously there are times where God just overrules and overcomes the things that we do. Because you know what? We're parents. And over a period of time, we'd like to think we get better at it. But you have one, and you think, okay, we got to figure it out now. Here comes the next one. The next one wasn't anything like the first one. And then you think, okay, we've got the A team, we raised them, we think we know how to do this now, and here comes two more that are clueless, and so are you. It's not easy. Those prisoners are ripped at their dads. No, sir, I'm not sending a card to him. Where was he? Maybe he was absent. Maybe he was there doing a lousy job. But I think it's interesting, and I want to make this connection as I close. When life doesn't go well, who's the first one we get mad at? And I'll point to him in case you don't know the answer. It's our Heavenly Father. And isn't it interesting? We seem to be more forgiving of our mom, but not of our dad. And we are not forgiving at all for our Heavenly Father. And I just want you to know that as a dad, I was not perfect, not even close. I've made mistakes before. I will make them again. I can promise you that I will try. I am trying, but I screw up. But I want you to know your Heavenly Father is not just trying. He's doing it perfectly. He cannot be wrong. So if you're mad at your Heavenly Father for something that has taken place in your life, let me tell you something. Your Heavenly Father is not wrong. You are. And I didn't want to say that, but it's true. If your dad's still with us, and mine is, and Dad, I want you to know I love you. You were a great dad, regardless of whether you let him ride the go-kart or not. I mean, you're a great dad. And there are times I can, you know, I got a good memory. I can remember when my parents did things wrong. But I'll tell you what, I grew up in a home that they absolutely loved me. Love will cover a multitude of sins. But on the other hand, you need to get to know your Heavenly Father who does things perfectly, and you can trust him. And you get to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And somewhere in your life, while you're on this side of eternity, you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive my sins. And let me tell you, knowing Jesus Christ doesn't make this life perfect, but it makes it livable because he gives life. And I'm so thankful for my Heavenly Father and what he's done for me. And I just want you to know, I highly recommend him to you. Get a relationship with him by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for our time this morning and your goodness to us. You are an awesome Father. We can't express to you how much we love you. Now, Lord, I know you've never been wrong. That means I have been. And I will publicly admit that you have disappointed me at times because you've done things that I did not want you to do. But there'll come a day when I will understand all of that, even though I don't right now. But I want you to know I love you. And you have been awesome to me. And on Father's Day, I want my Heavenly Father to know that you've been so good. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Lord, I ask for the people under the sound of my voice this morning and possibly those who will watch it on the internet or get the DVD or the tape, that I pray that every person that hears this message knows you personally as their Heavenly Father because they've trusted your Son, Jesus Christ, to be their Savior. At some point in their life, they've recognized that they are sinners. And they have admitted that to you, that I am a sinner. And I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And ask you, Jesus Christ, to come into my heart. Forgive my sins. And if there are those here this morning that have never done that, Lord, I pray right now they'd say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Pray they'd say those words. And then they'd say, forgive my sins. Watch over me. Guide me. Love me. Help me to live for you. Lord, if they'd express that to you or words like that, you'd not misunderstand them. You'd know what they'd want. They can't say it wrong, but they need to share their heart with you. And I pray this morning folks would do that. And then, Lord, for us as dads, moms, families, Lord, if there are kids here that are not happy with their dad, I pray they'd love their dad and pray for him. And if there are dads here that know they have come up short, and we all have, I pray that they'd pray once again for their kids and their wife, that ask you to be the center of their home and give them wisdom to be the man in the home that will take a stand for the things that are right. Lord, we love you. We'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. I pray that everyone knows you and that everyone is committed to you. Thank you for loving us. Bless this invitation, please. In Jesus' name, amen.